most women won't come to me immediately and come out with like, I'd like to lose fat, or I'd like to build a booty, or I want to see core definition. Like, they really strayed away from bringing up anything about their physique and wanting to change it, which, music to our ears, right? First of all, as coaches, we're like, oh my gosh, amazing. You just want to feel better and be stronger? That's exactly what we wanted. But for me, I've taken a few steps back and I'm like, but is that their true reality? Or is that just the messaging that has been put within them? Because I think you and I both know, the further you get into a coaching and client relationship, the more important it is to know that true why. Because if you guys both never uncover that true why, you're gonna get nowhere.
Let's link up with Krista on The Fix. She's a wellness coach with a focus on mental well-being and physical strength.
Hello, Fix listeners, and welcome back to your latest episode of the Fix podcast. I'm your host, Krista Huber, and I'm not the only voice you're getting for this week. As I mentioned in last week's episode, we are joined by a bunch of powerhouse women through the rest of this month in celebration of Women's History Month. And I couldn't think of a better guest to help me do that, specifically because of the topic that we honestly stumbled upon in today's conversation. And you may recognize her voice because I actually aired a recording from her podcast a few weeks back. And that is my good friend, fellow fitness coach, founder of Rise Coaching, Courtney Lombardo. Courtney and I met through a mentorship program that we have both been a part of. And she is just one of those people who, if you are not watching this on video, go over to YouTube and do it, because her big personality, just it radiates such a bright light, and you can feel that in her voice, but you can just really see it in her expression and the way that she talks about her own journey, the way that she shows up and cares for her clients is so evident throughout this conversation, because we cut right to the chase. We get real, we keep it vulnerable like we always do every single week on this show. And that's one of the reasons that you'll kind of hear her and I talk about how we're always living in synchronicity. And we were just those two friends who clicked instantly and quite literally over Zoom. So the main focus of this conversation you'll hear this week is us just kind of redefining different terms. And we actually did this in the podcast that I did with her on her show, where we just kind of like cut through some of the BS when it comes to what we see on social media, the lights that are portrayed when it comes to this whole idea of being on your healing journey. And Courtney was open enough to talk about how her relationship with food has transformed over the years. And we both really shared a lot of insight into how healing has kind of been portrayed as this whole like clean girl aesthetic with juices and walks and living this very slow morning. And while all that's great, as Courtney says, healing is gritty. And we're going to explain to you exactly why we feel that way based on our own experiences in our life. This is one of those episodes that I hope by the time you get through it, you feel like you were just listening to a conversation as a fly on the wall between two girlfriends versus that typical interview style where someone's asking a question and then going right back and forth with the other person and moving on to the next one. Truly conversational. And I just always have so much fun when I get the chance to hang with Courtney. And if you're listening to this episode on the week that it airs, we are actually just making our way back from a few days together at an incredible conference called the Real Coaches Summit, which was put on by my amazing nutrition coach. Shout out to Aram. You guys are familiar with him by now. And I can't wait to be able to tell you all about everything that we learned, some new ideas that I have. I am, as no surprise to many people who know me or those of you who listen to the show, you could probably pick up on this, pretty extroverted. So whenever I go to conferences like this, I come back with lots of new ideas, feeling really energized, loving making connections with other people. And I can guarantee you that as a result of being in spaces and places like this one, I am going to have even more amazing guests to bring your way over the course of the next few months. And I just love having the opportunity to be able to do that. So stay tuned as we kind of look ahead through these next few weeks. I can't wait to share some of my reflections and just conversations that I'll have the opportunity to have in meeting new people and new faces and connecting with longtime friends like Courtney too. So with that, let's kick it over to Courtney and hope you guys enjoy this episode. Courtney, welcome to the Fix Podcast. I am so excited for this conversation. Long overdue. I actually recently shared the episode that I did on your show on the Fix. So everybody is technically a little bit familiar with you, but now we're going to get the whole Courtney and the whole shebang in the next hour or so. And I can't wait because you are just so amazing and I'm going to let you take the floor. But before we talk about who you are, how you got here, all the great things you're doing as a coach, I want to know what your go-to coffee order is. What do you like to sip on?
Oh, girl, I am a coffee connoisseur, and I'm so happy that this is your first question. Like, this means so much to me. Thank you for asking. You were like, I'm so happy you already have your coffee. I always do.
There she is.
We're in a cut right now. So would I say this is my go-to? This is just sugar-free vanilla in an iced Americano.
All right, nice and simple.
It hits. It's working. It's doing the job for me right now. Outside of this, I still love an iced Americano. All it needs is a little bit of not sugar-free syrup and then a splish splash of almond milk, and then we're good to go. So it's not that much different, honestly.
Nice. I like it. If I'm going the Starbucks route, I also go the sugar-free vanilla, just to like give it a little something extra.
It needs it.
Yeah.
We start our day off with like plain black coffee. I am that girl for sure. But then my afternoon is like something a little sweeter.
Nice. And what about maybe you're not doing this right now, but I feel like this was a very key moment for your Instagram for a while with your like little biscotti and your little treat.
No, I was actually thinking about that this morning, how I just kind of stopped. I didn't make a plan of action to stop that. They naturally ran out. And I think when you're in a cut, it's more of a mindset thing because they're tiny, like making a blip in the radar as far as like macros go. But for me, it's like puts me in a different mindset of like, I'm just not going to start my day off like that instead and just kind of move forward. So right now they're on a pause. It's a little bit sad, but it's not as hard as I thought it was going to be.
Well, good. Well, I'm excited for their return when they come back because I just saw it as more of like a little ritual, which I know you're big on your rituals and your routines. So I'm sure we'll get into that. And I think that, like I said to you before we hit record, there are so many ways we can take this conversation. But what I find with a lot of guests, as somebody who not only hosts a podcast yourself, but has also been on other people's podcasts, it's very common for us to give everybody our whole resume, what we do, why we do it. And I want to ask you that question, but I have a little bit of a different spin on it. So when you answer the question of who is Courtney, who is the CEO of Team Rise, I want to know more specifically, why should the Fix listeners care about what you have to say today?
Oh, I love that. Oh my gosh.
Because we could go listen to any podcast, right? Like somebody could turn this off right now, jump to the next thing. There's so much content out there. So I know all the great perspectives you have to share, but for somebody who's never heard you speak before, what should keep them listening to the rest of this episode?
Yeah. Amen. I love that. I love to start it that way because obviously there's a lot of us in this industry at this point. And it's like, okay, why listen to another podcast? Why listen to another fitness influencer? I think for me, I'm going to keep it so simple with you because I think that that's what we do best is just give it raw and real. And I know I'm a woman of action. I'm a woman of my word. I've been there, done that within the health and fitness industry. I'm someone that has a very unique perspective in the fact that I didn't grow up in a smaller body. I struggled with my weight a lot of my life. I left sports. I went to college. I left college. I got into the relationship. So I've gone through all the life transitions, but I've also been a woman of action through that to get me to where I am today, which is, of course, the resume piece. I'm a health and fitness coach. I've lost the weight. I'm active within, you know, a bunch of different communities online. I'm a podcast host. I lead other women to also make these changes in their lives. And that is nothing to say without action. And that's why we have the messy action.
There it is. That's such a perfect way to kick this off and just really describe you and your journey too, because I even think back as you were just saying that and talking through your, how did I get into the fitness industry question, right? When I think about the first time that you and I met and the very first time I interacted with your content, technically, I am a former athlete, but I don't necessarily identify with that to the degree that maybe some of your audience does, because I left my swimming career behind in high school. So I just kind of see it as separated versus somebody who pursued it at a higher level in college. But the first thing that I noticed about you, because obviously we look for ourselves in the content that we see, was exactly what you just said about you weren't this person who woke up like this, for lack of a better way of explaining it, right? And you're really open about sharing all the transformations that you've had through your physique and like working through them and what that's been like. And I think so often on social media, all we see is like this one before and this one after. Mm-hmm. And that has so not been my journey, to the point where in 2024, I'm actually making more of a commitment to show the in-betweens, because I've had the huge weight loss and then a bunch of weight gain and then basically staying the same for a really long time and then a little bit of weight loss and even more weight gain. And that is the real shit, right?
Oh, that's so good, because I even had to come to terms with that myself for a little bit. I would continuously post my first transformation photos, right? Mm-hmm. The one where I did lose the most weight. And even like, I'd have business coaches that are like, you just need to keep posting that. That's what's attractive to people. And I finally at one point was like, I'm so out of alignment with posting this, because like, mm-hmm. that's not who I am at this point. I've now since then, you know, graduated college and I went to a big girl job. For sure, I gained some more weight during that period of my life. Or then I struggled with my eating and then I lost a significant amount of weight, but it wasn't healthy. I'm not going to use those photos to show other women how to do it. And so there's just the messy middle. And that is what people refrain from showing so often. And it's so freeing. And I'm sure you can agree, like, as you're starting to do it this year, it's so freeing to be able to just like honor yourself with where you're at and show other people like, this is the reality. And like, you just get so much like better feedback from that too, because people are like, I resonate with that like hardcore. It's like your first transformation, amazing, I'm motivated, but it's intimidating. And I'm like, here's the real, the raw, you know?
What did it take for you outside of, you know, the influence you just referenced of saying, hey, some business coaches gave me this advice, but on a more personal level, like, what was potentially holding you back from sharing these next phases of your story?
I think there's a lot of shame, honestly. And I know that's like kind of deep to like just jump into this.
Go there. Come on.
I think there was shame because at that point I was already a coach. So it's like, I wanted my clients and potential clients to be like, oh, wow, she did this amazing thing. And just kind of like, look at it that way, right? And being like, I want to coach with her because she's done this crazy thing. What would they think if I then gained 20 pounds? What are they going to diminish my credibility for mm-hmm. then coaching them? And or shame around, you know, my time where I did struggle with my relationship with food. I was still a coach then. That's really hard to come to terms with, when it's like, I wasn't practicing what I was preaching. I was losing the weight. It was looking attractive. It was cool to see. My clients are like, ooh, ah, how are you doing that? And it's like, I'm not doing what I've taught you guys. And so there's huge shame around that one. So it did come to the point where I was scrolling through like my camera feed and I'd have to scroll so far to use the photos that I wanted to, that I'm like, this is my reality right here, and not like what's at the top of my camera roll. And it was a huge moment for me to finally honor where I currently was when I was able to post that and come to those terms. I'm like, wow, I've done the healing. But I think that's what it took, was just like a lot of healing work on my own.
So let's talk about the healing piece, right? I think that's such a word that's so sexy, let's say, these days, right? And what has the healing journey actually looked like for you? Because I've started talking about that myself on the last few solo episodes I've done, just in new mentors that I've hired this year. And I kind of want to demystify it for people, because I think if you jump on Instagram and you see or think of the word healing, it is a big bucket with a lot of different types of messaging around it. So talk to me about your experience with it and what's actually worked for you to get from where you were then, when you had these unhealthy relationships with food, when you had these feelings of imposter syndrome, to how you feel now, just grounded in, like you said, the messy middle. Like, you're actually grounded in the middle of the messy action, which I think almost sounds counterintuitive if we don't unpack that for people.
Amen. And this is why I love doing podcasts and just talking to you in general, Krista. I feel like we genuinely bring up topics that are just like these like buzzwords going on.
Yes.
On social media that everyone's so quick to jump on. Coaches are using here and there. They're not using any definition behind it, explaining it. And healing is definitely that, because you hop on like healing on TikTok and you see like all these cute little B-rolls with like greens and like walking and like not going out and just like a very healthy look. And it's very attractive when you see the word healing and you see it in content. You're like, I want to go in my healing girl era. Like, that sounds fun. And I'm like, y'all, you are not healing if it's looking like that. And they, okay, I should not put a blanket statement. For some people, maybe that is, maybe that's your healing and that's working. For me, it's way harder than that. It's way grittier. It's taking way more out of you emotionally, mentally, and physically than, you know, people are making it appear. It should be hard because it's doing something different. You're working mm-hmm. through emotions. You are actually asking yourself the deeper why questions. And especially if this is something that you're going to go through alone and not ask for assistance on, which I'm going to always say, especially with everything I've learned, ask for assistance. Ask for help, be vulnerable, tell people what you're going through, because there's different perspectives all around. But I will say, for me, I did approach it in kind of like a solo mission area. I've always had a very good intuition with myself, being like, you're crossing lines, Courtney, like you're crossing boundaries. I poured into a few people closer to me, and like, just, I'm going to speak like specifically to like healing my relationship with food.
Perfect.
Because I feel like that's easier to just kind of confine the whole thing. At the end of the day, healing's healing. It's going to be gritty. I confided in a few different people in my life to tell them I was going through this process and what I was experiencing. And obviously that's hard enough for a lot of us, being vulnerable and expressing something that we probably have a deeper level of shame around. Shame is a huge, huge emotion that we can all feel as humans. So being able to express that is huge. And then doing the work, right? It's almost like, if you want to change your body, you got to go to the gym. You got to do the nutrition. You got to check in that way. If you want to heal, you got to check in ways where you never thought. It's not that just like, again, cute greens juices, going for walks. It's the actual time set aside in your day to journal about really hard things, or setting really hardcore boundaries with people in your life, with environments, with whatever that may be. Those two things alone, practicing your mental journaling and your boundaries, should be gritty enough. And that was true healing for me.
They're so hard. So hard.
Which part?
It's just
boundaries?
Yeah, it's a daily, it's hard in the sense that it's such a daily intention. Like, I shouldn't say it's hard without actually having done it. Like, I'm saying that from the experience of, that has been my sole mission for the last 10 weeks of the new year. And I have gone the whole phones and do not disturb 95% of the time, to be able to give myself the structure to start to practice the boundaries. Because if I just kept going the way I was going, that's where I felt the difficulty in actually working on the healing journey. And like you said, I asked for help too, to be able to do it and start to come up with these systems that are the same principles as what we apply to our fitness and nutrition, right?
Yeah.
It's the same concept of saying, hey, like, this is why we track our food. But I think a lot of people don't want to address their relationship with themselves, so they just kind of shove that over to the side and maybe utilize things like food tracking, pouring themselves into work, getting distracted with other noise, let's call it, to convince themselves that they're taking care of what's kind of going on up here.
Yeah. And that, and like alongside, they just don't prioritize it. Like, naturally,
that was me for so long.
You just naturally think like, oh, I don't need to make time to journal. Like, really, that's going to do the healing, right? Like, seriously. And it's like, we can mock it all we want, but at the end of the day, there is a reason it comes up time and time again with professionals all across the industry. It is an industry-wide like tactic to really get into the nitty-gritty of what you're truly going through. If you go and say you seek outside advice or help and you think, oh, if I sign up for therapy, like this is going to help me, and then you choose not to actively like work on those things outside of therapy, cool. It's the same situation. If you sign up for a personal trainer and you only go to 2 sessions a week, you go do your workouts, but outside of that, you're also eating junk food and you are not completing other exercises, you're not going to see change. It's the same scenario right. where it's like, if you're not practicing day in, day out, like changing your mindset, setting the boundaries day in, day out, it doesn't matter if you sign up for a therapist or not, if you've got medicated or not, you're not an active participant in making the change in your life. And you can play victim to that or not, you know, that's yeah. the choice.
I feel that so hard because admittedly, I feel that as someone who I look back on the last 4 years and you know, my whole story of the personal decisions that I made in that time, and I've been open about them on this show. And candidly, the hardest part about like my initial canceling my wedding, moving back home, quitting my job, and just being like, change, 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 was I knew like in my core that I needed to make these changes. But then when I actually faced them and ripped the Band-Aid, so to speak, I wasn't ready for the work that was coming next. So I was the person that you were describing of, yes, I checked the box of signing up for therapy. But for so long, I felt like I was sitting, I mean, it was on Zoom because of COVID, but sitting across from this therapist, and it was like, I could hear her, but I wasn't actually listening to what she was saying. And oh, that's the best way I could describe what it was like.
Yeah. I mean, that's, I love that you postured it that way. It's like healing is just not checking boxes. Like even if you are to practice your journaling every day, like, are you doing it to the depth you need to? Are you progressing in it at least? Obviously have grace with yourself. Not every session is going to be the deepest thing ever or the craziest thing ever, but being consistent is something that inevitably will build your confidence in who you're trying to become and what you're maybe trying to change, right? Like,
sure. Like what have you found with showing up and making the commitment to journal? And, you know, even just if we keep it in the context of healing your relationship with food, what prompted you to recognize that, hey, this isn't a matter of me maybe not tracking my macros for a little bit? Because I think like where I'm kind of going with this question is, a lot of times if somebody starts to notice that they don't have a healthy relationship with food, they kind of want to just throw everything away that they were using before in terms of the tools that they had in place. So walk us through kind of what that evolution was like for you to actually recognize that, hey, maybe this isn't about like the structure of my nutrition. It's more about these other action steps that I want to put in place. In your case, I think this is probably one of the times that you really leaned into routine, at least from what I've observed with what you do share in your podcast and on social media.
Yeah. So if I
can even rituals, maybe
routine. If I can gather a little bit of like what you're kind of asking there, I actually think it was the opposite for me.
Okay.
With healing. It was less structured than I was. This is going to sound so counterintuitive to what I just, but hold up. So for me, going into that chapter of my life where things became unhealthy, which just to preface, this is when I moved to Scottsdale, Arizona. I was awakened to, I was from little old Nebraska. So when I came to Scottsdale, Arizona, I'm like, oh, wow, I need to be way smaller. You know, all these judgments came up where it's like, that is where it all stemmed from. So as I walked into this new chapter of my life, which was already a huge life transition, I was already shocked. Yeah. I was also judging myself. And then I was like, I need to change my life. That's why I did this. That's why I moved. I came for a whole new lifestyle. I need to shut everyone down. That's not serving this new lifestyle, right? It's a very fixed mindset that I was like, I can't go anywhere else. Like I need to eat all the same foods every day and or lack of those foods. And like, it was so structured that I did not allow myself to have grace and there was no sustainability in what I was doing. And that's how I realized eventually, you know, when it came to moments where I would get emotional about going out to eat, I was like, I can't do that. Like, that's going to ruin my entire plan for the day. Or if someone added a little bit of extra peanut butter into my smoothie for the day, that would just derail my day. And after pretty big emotional spurts, after like those things happened, I was like, that's not you, that you're acting without your character at this point. So for me moving forward, yes, there were different rituals in place, but they were a little less aggressive. I was a lot more graceful and adaptable, which is a huge thing I work on with my clients now, is just learning to be adaptable within your health and fitness journey, because I found that's where true change is. After all the life transitions I faced, being a former athlete, leaving school, moving, all the different things, it's like, I need to learn that it's not always going to look one way, shape, and form, because that was not doing me a service at all. So I became more flexible in my ways. I did stop tracking macros for a little bit, which was really healing for me to realize that I'm not going to ruin all my progress, and that I can trust myself to eat intuitively. And then I just took some time away from my watch, because that was really like getting to me. I thought like number structurally, I needed to see that, and like letting go of that was really helpful for me. And then just again, setting some different boundaries for myself that made me feel safe, and or didn't make me feel safe in my life. That those were all different rituals that helped me in that time. I don't know if that's exactly what you were asking, but just giving more grace within the rituals that you have. That's what helped at that point in time for me.
And at what point did you then start to say to yourself, because like we said, when we kicked off the show and talking about coffee, you're currently in a cut. I know you have a big year this year because it's your wedding year, right? And those are all reasons and seasons to prioritize looking and feeling your absolute best. So what was the sign for you in keeping on this theme of healing? I'm never going to make the statement, oh, I'm healed, because like we're saying, it's a journey, it's a process, it's a part of taking messy action. But what was the kind of light bulb for you to be able to say, hey, I can go back into this phase in a different way this time and trust myself through this process in a very different way this time? Was it because of the space you made for journaling, for slowing down, for having different types of rituals and routines, or was it something else?
That's a really good question. I love this, because being able to go through this cut this time around has been really fun to share with my clients, because obviously like you have clients too that probably come in with very similar situations as I was in. And it's very cool to share like, hey, you can come out of this and you can absolutely go into a cutting phase again in your lifetime and do it the most healthy way possible. I'm in this cut now and I feel so good. I was just talking to my coaches this morning. I'm like, my relationship with food is honestly so healthy. I'm able like really not shame myself if I go over one day or whatever, and I'm seeing really, really good results. And that's because I gave myself a lot of time, dude. I have not been in a cut like this for probably more than 2.5 years.
Can you just repeat that one more time for everyone out there who wants to rush into their calorie deficit? How many years did you just say?
2.5, baby. 2.5 years. I have not even thought about going into, well, okay, that's a lot. I've thought about it. But I've kind of withheld, not out of fear, but just out of a safety mechanism, right? It's just like, I do want to make sure when I go into this, I'm ready. And like, it's sustainable and it's going to feel good. It's going to feel comforting. It's going to nurture everything I've worked on. And I love that you like really like pronounced how much time, because healing is also a very timely thing. It's not just for the month of March that you're in your healing girl era. It's
the era. Years. It shouldn't even be called an era. Like, I know that's become such a trend of like, oh, I'm in this girl era. Like, you'll appreciate this one. Me being from New Jersey, have you seen the whole like mob wife era thing?
No.
Like okay. So there's this thing that's been going around and it's like clean girl aesthetic is out and like the mob wife aesthetic / era is in. And I see a ton of it. I haven't seen it in a few weeks, but it's the whole, like what you were saying before about the greens, powders, and the juices and the walking and everything that looks so pretty, that was considered the clean girl. And then the mob wife is like a fur coat. And a lot of my friends and I have been like, that's not like a mob wife thing. That's just like, I'm from New Jersey. And this is how I dress.
You're like, no, that's just like what we do. It's not an era, man.
Exactly. So to the point of healing, not being an era, when you're committed to it, it's, to me, the reason why I've learned to look at it this way, especially in the last 2.5 months, is because it comes through with navigating your relationship with yourself. And newsflash, your relationship with yourself isn't fucking going anywhere. That is the one relationship that you're going to have for the rest of your life. And like you, I have also been in that same mindset of all of the events that really just superseded me prioritizing tracking my macros. I went through this whole sort of like, I'm going to get rid of food tracking and logging, and I just want nothing to do with going to the gym. It was complex in the sense that it was also a part of my work at that time. So I felt like I was shedding a lot of these different identities, questioning if I even wanted to stay in the fitness industry. And then I also felt like I was just sitting there some days being like, why should I care about how much protein I'm consuming if I don't even know what my career is going to look like? Like, it just felt like it didn't matter. So to your point of everything you were saying earlier about transitions, right? Yeah. Learning how to be flexible and use something like food tracking, but also understanding when it's the appropriate time to go into a deficit has just been the biggest growth that I've seen for myself in being able to have a better relationship to the process. What has it looked like for you to re-examine your relationship with the process? Like you said, you spent these 2.5 years being like, okay, now I'm ready. But now when you're looking at, okay, this is a day that I went over my macros, I'm good with it. Yeah. What are some of those other day-to-day thoughts that you're having that if you were talking to Courtney 3-4 years ago, she would never believe that you believed?
Absolutely. Okay, I love that. It really comes down to just taking the pressure off myself, off of everything. And it's like, I think we are so quick to do so, especially high achieving women who are like, oh, I'm going to start the cycle studio and just see how that goes. And I just kind of let myself flow with it. It's like, okay, do you like it or not? And it's like, past version of me would be so critical of myself. It's like, you have to show up to that class twice a week for, you know, so long. And it's like, when does that end? Can I give myself grace to like cancel that membership and move on and try something different? Right now, I've been trying out new classes like every single week. And I think oddly, that's been so healing for me. It's been scary because I've tried like Pilates and bar. Oh my, have you tried those classes?
So back in the day, I was actually a Pure Bar instructor, believe it or not.
You were, yes. Of course.
Yeah, I was. That was one of my first, it was like my second fitness job that I had. One of my first fitness side hustles that I had.
Girl, so yeah. Hard.
It's no joke, man.
But I think it's that alone, right? I'm able to just like take the pressure off of it and just like have fun. Some days, you know, maybe it's not a class. It's I go for a hike and I'm moving my body because I love it, because I enjoy it. And just owning that fact alone, it's not, oh, I have to go burn so many calories, because I used to sign up for like Cycle Bar because I burned 500 calories. They were extreme high intensity. And like I go to Pilates and I'm burning just shy of 200. And there used to be like a piece of judgment of like that, and being able to move and be free from that has been just so liberating.
That's awesome. And you know, I have to ask the question because this is what always comes up, is the person who wants the clarification around, hey, you guys are sitting here talking about all these different types of classes and things like that, and they want to know how that plays into their specific fat loss goals. And they could say that I've put out episodes, and I'm sure you've put out content like this too, where it's the question of, does group fitness serve the goals that you're trying to achieve? So for the person listening out there who maybe is afraid to leave the group fitness space, because I have a lot of clients like that. They love their group fitness bubble. They're very afraid to step into the gym on their own. In a lot of ways, you probably have the opposite client, because someone who is a former athlete, they had the experience in the weight room, probably learned a few things in the weight room in college if they played at that level too.
Yeah.
So how can we give that advice of, it depends where you are, because the best advice is always it depends. But for the person who wants that clarity and the person who's sitting here being like, I go on TikTok, I see this. I go on Instagram, I see that advice. What is your best advice for helping somebody navigate what's going to make the most sense for them with whatever goals they've laid forth for themselves?
It's just that. It's ask yourself what works with your lifestyle, what are your goals, and then draw the conclusions from there. Now, that might be hard, obviously, for someone who's not as educated. So I'll bring some light to just kind of different case scenarios. But for me, I found the optimal, right? I weightlift and I train 4 times a week alone in the gym. That works for me. I know I have goals to maintain the muscle mass I've built in the past. I like it. That's important. Do you enjoy it? And it brings me my solitude, right? And I know that I can be consistent with that. I have the time for it and I know how to program for it. I have the knowledge, right? Those are all things that I have that maybe someone else doesn't have, but it's optimal for me. I've added in then since 1 group fitness class a week, nothing that I have to like spend a ton on. Like, it's just something that keeps it fun for me. And that's adding into me, into my lifestyle right now, because it's just having, I'm having fun with it. It's like a break. It's taking away the pressure. Now that's an optimal schedule for me because I have the time and I have the knowledge. And honestly, I have the funds. I have the ability to pay for that. Someone else, maybe they don't have the funds for group fitness. And maybe that's why they're terrified, because they're like, well, do I have to do like F45 or Orange Theory to see these crazy results? Like, I can't even do this on my own. And my answer to you guys is like, you don't need it. You don't need it. You have, even if you just have your home and no equipment at all, you have the ability to make change in your body alone. So rest assured, even if you have nothing, you can still make change. And if you're probably the people that work with Krista, you love your group fitness, you're addicted to the community, you have the funds, but you're wondering, is it serving you? Well, I mean, draw your own conclusions. Have you seen the progress you thought you would? What are the things that are coming up that you don't think is the struggle outside of the fitness? Is it your nutrition? Is it your mindset? Is it your habits and routine? You know, just like we said earlier, you can sign up for the things, you can cross and check off all the boxes, but what's going on outside of that? Is that what you need to address? Or do you need to incorporate a little bit more solo training? Do you need a little bit more knowledge to be able to find more of like what I like to call a hybrid schedule? Mm-hmm. It all depends on like what you want in your lifestyle. If group fitness is something you truly enjoy, I would just say, how do you find ways to make it better outside of what you're going to? So I know that's a vast answer, but it does definitely just depend on like where that person is sitting.
What I'm hearing is the underlying message of all of that is just intention, right? Yeah. Because exactly what you said of why did you choose to add in a group fitness piece for yourself? The biggest word that jumped out at me, fun. Yeah.
Enjoyment. Who would have thought you could have fun in your health and fitness journey?
Exactly. And you stressed it too in saying why you choose to strength train 4 days a week outside of the comments around knowledge, because yeah, that's important. And that's literally why we do the work that we do as coaches, to be able to empower other people to gain that knowledge as well. But also, I've just found, and I just want your reaction on this, and the more you kept talking about doing things because you like them, it just kind of popped into my head. Is it social media maybe that is kind of drilling this message into people that you need to do a certain thing? You have to do a certain thing just to get a specific result, to the point where it's become like a little bit, I don't know, militant, and we've taken the fun out of it.
Yes. Yes. 20 more times. I just went live on this like right before we hopped on the podcast.
Oh my God. I didn't even see it because Instagram's been down. So that's actually so funny.
True.
Meant to be. Synchronicity in the universe.
Krista, we've always been in sync, girlfriend. Yep. That's why I literally love talking to you. It wasn't 100% about this, but I think it's about societal standards that have it placed these messages in our head, and it's become half of our belief, right? And like, it can go either way right now, I think, with group fitness. I think that there is a side of social media, which if you're finding yourself on there, is extremely judgmental of group fitness. And they're like, you shouldn't be going to Orange Theory. It's way too high. It's going to spike your cortisol. It's really stressful, right? There's that side of social media. And then there's another side that's like, hey, this is going to be like extremely beneficial. And it's just like, whatever side you're finding yourself on, it's an all or nothing situation. And that's just like not the case. And what I had spoken about earlier live is that societal like messaging has allowed women to almost fear wanting to change their body. And I also like your take on this actually a lot. Because I've had so many women I've topped on calls with in this last week or just like new potential clients. And they were all like, hey, Court, like, I am so excited to embark on this journey. My first question is always like, why are we on this call? Like, what are your goals? And they're like, I just want to feel better and I want to be stronger. I've noticed a lot more recently, most women won't come to me immediately and come out with like, I'd like to lose fat, or I'd like to build a booty, or I want to see core definition. Like, they really strayed away from bringing up anything about their physique and wanting to change it, which, music to our ears, right? First of all, as coaches, we're like, oh my gosh, amazing. You just want to feel better and be stronger. That's exactly what we've wanted. But for me, I've taken a few steps back and I'm like, but is that their true reality? Or is that just the messaging that has been put within them? Because I think you and I both know the further you get into a coaching and client relationship, the more important it is to know that true why. Because if you guys both never uncover that true why, you're going to get nowhere. And if that client alone doesn't even know their true why, which is kind of the point I was getting to, I'm like, I think we've gone so far in our messaging in society that people don't know their true why anymore. They've really almost deceived themselves enough or like suppressed that want to change their physique that they don't even know, you know? So it's like, what are your thoughts? Do you encounter that ever?
I totally do. And I just have, I didn't interpret it the way you did. And I totally agree with everything you're saying about maybe it is a disconnect from your why. And I think you took it a step further than how I've kind of picked up on it from people. I've picked up on it in the same exact scenario. It's when somebody is joining a sales call with me and I'm asking them, what are your goals? And it's just the way they present the information of what they would like to accomplish. And it's in the order in which they're presenting it. It's the, I just want to feel better. And then there's like a 35 second explanation with a lot of words around this idea of what they're really just trying to say is I would like to lose 15 pounds, but they won't come out and say that. And I think that's because there's been a lot of shaming around somebody wanting to change their body, and there's nothing wrong with wanting to change your body. And I feel so torn about it sometimes because, like you said, as a coach, you love to hear when somebody understands that this isn't just about the physical, that we really will get long-term lasting change that you can look at as your forever plan when you tie your habits and your behaviors to how you feel, not just purely how you look. We're not debating that. I mean, we spent the whole first half of this conversation talking about that you don't have to focus only on the physical, right? And right. I want to really like keep that top of mind. But at the same time, when I hear how long-winded these women get to just try to tell me that they would like to actually lose X amount of weight, the sentence is always started off with like, well, I'm not that tied to the number on the scale. And it's like, okay, cool. Like, I don't really want you to be that tied to the number on the scale, but at the same time, you are allowed to want to be a different weight, period. And I'm not sure if it's just been so much messaging, and it's tricky because it's almost like toxic positivity. That's the category that I'll put it in with.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, again, I don't want to lose sight of our initial part of this conversation, which is like the perception of like how you feel about group fitness. So it falls under the same category because
it's another example.
It's the messaging you're receiving from social media and how you're letting it impact what you truly want. You don't have to suppress the things that you truly want. I know it is very okay to have that outcome driven goal, which is kind of, you know, the I'd like to lose 15 pounds or I'd like to see core definition. We have to understand that's our bigger overarching goal. To feel better, to get stronger are more of those behavioral change goals. And those are the things that's the journey to us, right? Like as coaches, we're like, cool, this is where we get to like love the journey. And then eventually we get you to that outcome-based goal because we have that outcome-based goal. Now, if we continue to ignore this one and just say, oh, I'm just going to love it here. It's like, what's really pulling you to moments in
keep
this?
Keep progressing. Yeah.
This is where the discipline is. That's hard. And there's going to be moments that are like, okay, we're asking for change. Like obviously you hired a coach to make changes. Making changes is hard. And if you don't have that outcome driven goal, you have no reason in those hard moments to say no, or no reason to choose the new. If that makes any sense.
That's so good. Yeah.
I just, I think we just, as society, need to stop fearing having such big goals.
Right. And I don't know if the fearing the having big goals piece comes from, it's almost like a huge shift away from the whole, like, let's get away from quick fixes to the point where people feel intimidated to even want some of these weight loss goals that are, you know, stereotypically tied with some kind of crash diet. I think that's probably where, like, it gets a little bit muddy, let's say.
For sure. And I think that's why we've swung the pendulum so hard as a society, because we're like, well, now we don't have to always want to be smaller, and we know we can't always be in a deficit when we're eating. And like, but we've just swung it so far that there's not that, we don't talk about the messy middle, which is like at the very beginning of our conversation. It's like, this is the reality where we all get to choose to live and where you can find true love and passion for this journey. Y'all, I've been at all ends of the spectrum at this point within my journey. I've been in this like 6-7 years at this point. I've been coaching women. I've seen it all. And I know that there's so much power in just being so honest and true to actually what you want and what works for your lifestyle.
And on top of that, being okay with those goals adjusting as you go. Because I see a lot with people that they may go into it thinking they want one thing. And as they start to inch closer to that, or even get to, let's call it that destination of whatever that outcome-based goal is, they get there. It wasn't maybe what they expected it to look like, or they have a history of taking an approach that was not the healthiest relationship to be able to getting it. And maybe that's where some of the shame of like not even wanting to say that they want this weight loss goal is coming from. That could be a whole other piece of it. But I find that there is sometimes a fear, and I think it's more just like lack of information, and why coaching is so awesome is because our responsibility is to help clients figure out the next step in the path and have that clarity along that next phase in the journey, so that when you are ready to edit or update that goal, you know how to unpack it. You know which direction to go in, or really directions, plural, because there are so many different ways you can take it. And I know that to be so true because of everything we've been talking about with the two keywords of being flexible and being adaptable, because that's really also what defines that messy middle piece that you're describing too, right? And that's where your life happens. The way I always like to say to people is, if you're the person who really gets yourself feeling so conflicted about going out to eat and how that fits into your day and some of the fears that you were describing earlier, I've gotten to a point of like, hey, let's just simplify this. Like you said, stuff that we're good at. All you need to do is the inverse of what's missing. And that's what I've started telling people. You know, you're going out to dinner and you know that meal is going to be lacking in protein. Don't even worry that it's slightly higher in carbs and fat. Just spend the rest of your day prioritizing protein. And it can be that simple if you choose to look at it that way, because at the end of the day, to really bring this all together, going back to the theme of intention and talking about fun, sure, the other side of it is the language that we're using. Something I've started to learn in exploring my own healing and listening to the way that I speak and having someone mirror this back to me, and I even have heard it a lot now in us having this conversation, is it's so easy to use the words need, have to, should, instead of I want to do something.
Amen.
When you say you want to do something, how different does that sound?
It changes your entire demeanor and how you show up. Because I know we both work with so many women, and most women out there want and have originally this perfectionist mindset when it comes to macros, when it comes to hitting protocols. And that can really deter you when you're just so much more gentle with yourself and just saying, I want to do something. I'm going to have fun with this. And that's where becoming adaptable becomes a lot easier. Because as it stands, most humans aren't very adaptable. Like, there are girls who are more go with the flow. And you know your people when they're more go with the flow. But still, at the end of the day, humans are creatures of habit, no matter.
Yeah, our brains are literally not wired for change. And I've actually, like, it, now that I can look back on how I felt in times of so many changes, I've given myself more grace because I'm like, okay, this actually makes way more sense of why I had so much resistance to this.
Absolutely. And that's why it's become honestly my passion project. And Krista, you honestly helped push me into just like becoming a little bit more generalized with it, because for the past 2 years, I've focused and specifically worked with women who are former female athletes. Mm-hmm. And I still do love to work with them. Obviously, I resonate with them hardcore. But, you know, even my own personal journey, you were like, Courtney, what else have you gone through? And I was like, Well, again, I graduated college. I changed careers. I moved. I've gone through grief. I've gotten into a relationship, out of a relationship. And it's like looking at my fitness journey and my health and fitness in general through all those different times, it has always changed. It has absolutely always changed. And the first time I've gone through those things, I've been pretty hard on myself because I judge myself and I'm like, oh, well, I'm just going to gain weight now because I can't stick to this habit or this routine. When now how I'm able to handle all of those different transitions that will continue to come up in my life, I'm able to do it so gracefully because I've taken away the pressure. I've added more of the I want to piece to it. And I've really, truly found where I want to be for the rest of my life, because it's just adaptable. And that is what I bring to so many other women at this point, because I'm like, that is your superpower. If you can create that change very quickly and pivot and love it and have a growth mindset, you're genuinely going to be unstoppable in your health and fitness journey.
I'm smiling so big because that's such a mic drop. Like, I think we're just going to have to end the episode here because that is so powerful. Like if that, I usually ask this question and I'm just going to take the answer for you with everything you just said. I typically ask people and kind of getting to the end of the conversation, if there's just one takeaway that somebody could have from this episode, what would it be? For me, it was that.
Yeah.
It was the life transitions and knowing, and again, that still goes back to the adaptability, flexibility piece, but being able to zoom the frick out and recognize that those life transitions can indicate something to you too about where you prioritize certain things. Like it doesn't have to be like, oh, like this shame on you, you didn't prioritize your health and fitness, right? Because again, giving yourself some grace, but you can see so much growth for yourself when you start to take a step back and be like, okay, yeah, now this makes a lot of sense. I made this decision. I chose this route during this time of my life because of these other things that were happening over here and over here. And then all we can do from there is learn and see if there's an opportunity to approach it differently next time if we want to. It doesn't mean you have to either.
That encompassed everything. Honestly, we brought in the intent piece, right? Like always, if you give yourself an intent throughout those life transitions, it's like, okay, now's not the time to have my season of sacrifice. Like I'm going to give myself some grace. Intent, want, priorities, and your lifestyle. That's it.
Beautiful. So good. Boom. Well, before we let you go, please tell everybody where they can connect with you. Where can they catch your podcast? All that good stuff, because there is so much great Courtney content out there and I just adore you. And I'm so grateful. I think back on where I was almost 2 years ago when we met and I just feel like such a different person versus I think about like the very first Zoom you and I had together and how all over the place I felt. I wish we recorded that.
I
so
know.
I can play that back for myself now. And I want you to know how much I appreciate you for helping me find some clarity in that time of being like super overwhelmed. So this is a cool full circle moment for both of us.
It really is. I can't believe that's almost been 2 years, Krista.
Right? Yeah.
Meeting you for the first time, I'll never forget it. I was like, that is a spitfire of a human. I love her energy. Because at that time, like, I feel like we match each other's energy pretty hardcore, but pretty out there. So at that time in the group, there just wasn't exactly that. So I was like, oh, Chris is going to bring a whole new level to this group. I'm stoked.
I love it.
But yes, there's lots of Courtney content out there. I'm everywhere. At CBardoFit is my like main Instagram handle and TikTok. Then I have my coaching page, which is now TeamRise_coaching. And then I have my podcast page, which is the Messy Action Podcast. You can find that on Instagram, Apple, Spotify, all the things. We working out there, girls. We are Perfect. Working out there.
Love it. I will link everything down in the show notes. And as always, for everybody who tuned in today, we appreciate you guys. You know what to do. Leave us a review. I don't know how you couldn't love this episode because you were just such a ball of energy, and I love that about you. So thank you for making the time to come in and share your perspective and be open and honest. And I'm excited for everybody's feedback on this one. I've been starting to get like a lot of like very loyal listeners in the last few months who will message me and be like, hey, I loved this about this episode. So I can't wait to hear what those of you who I'm speaking to right now as I say this have to say about this conversation, what some of the highlights were for you. So with that, from wherever you're listening from, we will catch you guys next week. And we hope you have a wonderful rest of your day. Thanks, Courtney.